we're so happy to greet you again in the worthy name of the Lord Jesus. In our last message, we found that man by nature is not a child of God. We then considered why it is desirable to become God's child, because of the many benefits and blessings that are guaranteed to his children. Some of these are forgiveness of sin, peace with God, becoming a partaker of his life and nature, the assurance of a father's loving care, becoming an heir of a heavenly inheritance, an eternal habitation in the Father's house. Now we will consider the important question of how a sinner may become a child of God, because there are many false theories preached on this subject, and by reason of which many precious souls are deceived. We will first give a few minutes to warn against some of these theories, showing how we do not become the children of God. Before going further, we will read the 12th and 13th verses of the first chapter of John's Gospel. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You will notice in the last statement three ways people are not born of God. We will look at these three in order, for they are very important as a warning. Multitudes are depending upon one or more of these false ways. First, we do not become children of God by blood. The word blood is plural in the original, blood, that is, the blending of two bloods in human generations. Many in our Lord's day boasted, "We have Abraham to our father." But descent from Abraham did not make them the children of God. My friend, though your parents are both devoted Christians, and while it is a great blessing to have Christian parents, that fact alone does not constitute you a Christian. You may inherit many lovely and amiable qualities from them, but you do not inherit eternal life and the divine nature from them. The Lord Jesus said, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and can never be anything else." Men have told me that religion runs in their family. Yes, that may be true, but it might be the religion of Cain, who murdered his brother Abel beside a smoking altar, or the religion of Jeroboam, who taught Israel to sin by presenting a false system of religious worship. It might be the religion of Saul of Tarsus, who thought he was doing God's will in persecuting the Christians, even to the martyring of many. It might be the religion of Judas Iscariot, who betrayed the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. Though we may be true Christians, our children are not such by virtue of that fact. They must be born again to become the children of God. Some teach that through scriptural training, you can keep your children from ever being lost. This is a very prevalent idea throughout much of professing Christendom. Certainly those who are Christians are responsible to train their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But that training, thorough as it may be, is not a substitute for the new birth. The second warning of our text is that we do not become the children of God by the will of the flesh. That is, merely by human willpower. Many trust in their good resolutions, turning over a new leaf, and determining not to sin, but to follow the ways of righteousness. Merely saying, "I will be a Christian," does not make one such. A person could make such a statement if Christ had not died. The flesh is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. It is enmity against God. Salvation is therefore not by improvement of the flesh. The third warning of our text is that we do not become the children of God by the will of man. Regardless of what ordinances or rites may be received, or by whom administered, however imposing his position or title, such will not make one a child of God. Certain rituals may say that the one who is baptized, whether adult or infant, is thereby regenerated, is received as God's child, and is incorporated into his church. But these same do not make one such, for the new birth is not by the will of man. Which will you accept, what man says or what God says? From the false theories of which the Lord Jesus warned us, we turn to the true and show from the word of that blessed one how we do become the children of God. Notice carefully his words, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man. Listen very carefully to the next few words, but of God. We will call your attention to five facts about the new birth. First, the new birth is a divine work. As just read, it is of God. In speaking to Nicodemus, the Lord referred to it as a birth from above, that is, not of this sphere, but heavenly. Two divine works are connected with our salvation, both of which are necessary if the sinner is to be saved. There is a work done for us by Christ in dying for our sins upon the cross. Thus it is possible for our sins to be put away. Then there is a work done in us by the Holy Spirit, whereby we are regenerated or born again, born from above. In the third chapter of John, the great new birth chapter, both works are presented. There we read, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. This is a reference to our Lord's work for us. In the fifth verse we read, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Here we have the work of the Spirit in us, affecting the new birth. The second fact, the Holy Spirit is the agent of the new birth. He accomplishes that great work in us, which neither blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man can do, as we have seen a few moments ago. It is of God, God the Holy Spirit. The third fact is that the Holy Spirit uses the Word of God as the instrument for effecting the new birth. In our Lord's assertion, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. The term water very obviously refers to the Word of God and not to baptism, as some mistakenly teach. Two other passages make this very clear. In James 1:18 we read, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. Here we see God using the word to accomplish the new birth. No mention is made of baptism. Again, the Apostle Peter, in the first chapter of his first epistle, writes, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So Peter does not mention baptism as contributing to the new birth. This naturally brings us to the fourth fact. The new birth is accomplished when the sinner receives Jesus Christ, the Son of God, through believing on his name, as is made clear by our original text, but as many as received him, to them gave he power or authority to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Christ and the gospel of his redeeming grace is presented to the sinner through the word of God. As we receive Christ, we are begotten of God. To believe in his name is to receive him. The fifth fact is that by the new birth, an eternal relationship is established, a family relationship. We become the children of God. This is a vastly higher honor than to be the child of an earthly emperor. How tragic that countless multitudes esteem it of no value and not worthy of their notice. Having seen in our last message that by nature we are not the children of God, and having observed the desirability of being such, and having considered today how we do not become his children, and then how we may become such, we close by answering the question which may be in the mind of some of our listeners. How many may become the children of God? The many who did not receive him when he came into this sinful world might have received him. Certainly, they have the opportunity to receive him, for he repeatedly invited them to do so. One of the saddest verses in the Bible is John 1:11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But before you condemn that generation, let me ask, why have some of you who are listening to this program not received him? You may have an excuse. You cannot have a reason for rejecting the blessed Savior. The majority today, as in that day, do not believe on him. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. As many is a flexible term and is not limited to any color or condition of life. It expresses the universality of the gospel. It embraces everyone in our listening audience who will receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Why not take him right now and today become a child of God? May you be able to say with the hymn writer, in all my need and sin, Savior I come, guilty and vile within, Savior I come, helpless I look to thee, who gave thyself for me, bore my sins on the tree, Savior I come. Thy promise I believe, Jesus my Lord, thyself I now receive, Jesus my Lord. Thy finished work my plea, thy word my certainty, thou my sufficiency, Jesus my Lord. This is George M. Landis speaking. Please remain tuned for an announcement to follow.